Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, good morning, Home Church. My name's Kenny. I serve as the lead pastor here, one of the elders, and we're excited that you're here. Hey, we're going to continue in a series today called Understand the Assignment. And I'm excited because in September of last year, we actually went through a process to bring someone full-time on our staff. We were looking for what we called a generations pastor, someone to lead all of our generations ministry. That's Treehouse Kids, that's Fuse, our student ministry, and that's Rally, our young adults. And we went through a process, and God sent many people along the journey to meet with us, and we talked with them, but it was really clear who God had ordained and assigned to us for this next season. And his name was Grant Perry. It's kind of awesome because Grant was actually sitting under my pastor at the time over at Vision Church down in Charlotte. And so we have a lot of the same DNA and see things very, very similarly. And it's been a blessing to get to know Grant. And as we've shared with you before, Grant is engaged to Carly, and they're getting married in just a few weeks. And so we're going to celebrate with them that here right before Easter. It's going to be awesome. But I'm excited for you to hear from Grant today. Grant has a heart for the Lord. He's done incredible work already here. The Lord has anointed him and gifted him for the work of ministry, and I believe to bring a word for us today. And so, Home Church, would you do me a favor? Help me welcome our very, very own Grant Perry. Come on, Grant.
Good morning, Home Church. How are we doing today? Good. I'm glad 10 of you are doing well. That's awesome. Let's go. Hey, will you pray with me all over this place? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that your word would come and land on fertile ground this morning, that you would stir something in us. God, that it wouldn't be my thoughts but yours, and not my words but your words, Lord. That you're an on-time God, and we believe that this is an on-time message from you leading up to Easter, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, last week we started a series called Understand the Assignment. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them, understand the assignment with some attitude. Understand the assignment. Yeah, we heard, to remind you, we heard a powerful message from Pastor Kenny on what the purpose of our life is. Many of us like to call us, we know it as our calling in this life. We learned that there's a difference between your calling and your assignment. That your calling is something you receive from God that as a believer has been put over your life until you're through, that you come to meet the Lord. But your assignment is something that God has for you in certain seasons, that he's placed you in proper positions within the earth, specific, unique assignments that he has put you in proper position to fulfill. I just want to remind you as a believer, if you're a believer in the room, that you have one calling of your life. That calling is found in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And so we know this calling over our life, but you might be asking, what's this assignment we're talking about? Well, it's going to be up on the screen right here. Last week, we gave you a formula that your assignment is a burden over your life plus an opportunity the Lord gives you to do something about that burden equals your assignment. A burden plus an opportunity equals your assignment. So today we're going to focus, we're going to put some emphasis on this first part. What is this burden that the Lord puts over your life? How do we operate under the burden of the Lord's heart? If you would turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Matthew chapter 9, I'll give you a second to do so. I want to remind you, if you have the Home Church app, the scripture will be found on the app today. If you don't have your Bible, the scripture will be on the screens. And if you're online, it'll be at my feet. Matthew 9 lays out a perfect and practical example for what this looks like to operate under the burden of the Lord's heart. Join with me in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." We're going to take a moment and camp out in these five verses for just a little. Starting in verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Why is this important right here? Why does this matter? If you remember back again to last week, this calling we talked about, we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. This matters. Jesus went through all the towns and villages because he is to be proclaimed to all. The Great Commission as a believer is your life mission. Realize Jesus doesn't say if you want or would you. He doesn't leave it a suggestion. The Great Commission is a command to go and make disciples. Matthew goes on to say, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Jesus was moved when he saw these lost sheep, when he saw the pains of people. Jesus is moved today when he sees your pain and your struggles. We read this as Jesus saw them with like a sheep without a shepherd. He saw them in this helpless state, and this is why he gives us this metaphor, that they're in need of a shepherd. We see this throughout all scripture, that we are sheep, and he is our shepherd, and we need deeper, he invites us into deeper dependency of him, that we can't do this life without him. Then Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. I don't want you to miss this. I want you to notice something right here, that Jesus is inviting us into the way he sees others. If you're a believer in Christ, he is inviting you. This is an invitation he has for you to see lost people the way he sees lost people. He invites you and I to play a part. Jesus is calling us into an assignment to care for those in need, to minister to them, but most importantly, be burdened by those who are lost. As Jesus is moved with compassion and he's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing, he's delivering, Matthew, led by the Holy Spirit, side note, Matthew wrote Matthew. Matthew, led by the Holy Spirit, thought this was crucial to add right here. Don't miss this. He includes this profound statement Jesus makes. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This is important to understand. The harvest is there. God promises the harvest. Scripture says one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. God is going to do God's part. You don't have to worry about it. But this statement, the workers are few, this is that assignment. This is that burden that comes over our lives. The workers are few should immediately captivate us. It should grab our attention. It should bring a reaction out of us. This is the burden we're talking about. So what do we do about this burden? Well, you might ask, first of all, what's the harvest I have an invitation into? Your answer is exactly where you're planted in this season of your life right now. That assignment we were just talking about. It's somewhere that God has positioned you right now in this season of your life. The harvest is your lost family, your lost coworkers, your community, your town, your city, the Lord, wherever the Lord has you planted right now in this moment. Jesus then goes on to give specific instructions. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. What does this look like? This would be praying and believing that God would send more people like you and I, would send more disciples to water, to plant, to sow, to share the good news. This is an exact invitation into his assignment, to operate under the burden of the Lord's heart. I was talking to a dear friend last year in a season where I was experiencing a very numb heart, a numbness over my life, numb to the things that were going on inside of me, numb to the things that were going on around me. And I was just asking him for pointers for my prayer life. I felt like my prayer life was struggling. And he told me something very simple, and it struck me and it gripped my heart, and it's changed the way I pray. And he said, "Grant, whatever you want a heart for, pray for. You want a fresh heart for prayer? Start praying. You want a heart for the lost? Pray for the lost. You want a heart for your lost family? Pray for your lost family. You want a heart for the town of Maiden? Pray for the town of Maiden. You want a heart for your coworkers? Pray for your coworkers. I want to remind you, last week, Kenny brought out the whiteboard and he listed these priorities that we have to, that we must have in order in our lives. And when we have them in that order, the Lord has placed us close to him and close to the people we are to pray for, care for, and minister to. But we can't pray for the lost and have a burden for the lost until we have that burden for the people God has put right in front of us. Your own kids, your own family, your own spouse. Do you want the burden of the Lord's heart this morning? Jesus gives us the answer. He says, pray for it. Realize that these are the same instructions we just read that Jesus gives his disciples. I love the way the ESV Bible writes it. This translation says, it uses the word earnestly. It says, earnestly pray to the Lord of the harvest. Do you know what the word earnestly means? It means with intense conviction. As you pray earnestly with intense conviction, as that burden grips you, watch how the Lord moves in and through your prayer life. Maybe this morning you've never operated under the burden of the Lord's heart, or maybe you have, and you've gotten invited into a deeper revelation of it. What I mean by this is maybe the exact prayer your family's been praying for generations, for years, for days, you're sitting in the answer of. I remember the first time I received the burden of the Lord's heart. To tell you a quick story, I went off to a small school in Virginia, and I remember sitting in an apartment with my teammates at the time. And I remember so vividly one night I was sitting around and I was hearing the things that they were saying and the things they were doing that were so far from the Lord. And at the time I had disqualified myself from sharing the gospel with them. I felt like my faith was too shallow. And I remember the Holy Spirit stirring something in my heart, stirring a question. And I asked the Lord in this moment as I'm sitting there hearing and seeing these things take place, God, who is going to share the gospel with them? My heart broke in that moment. Who is going to share the gospel with my lost teammates? There was no believer on the team. And right there in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit just tell me, you are. That's all I needed to hear in that moment. You are, Grant. And I received that burden, and I've been gripped ever since by that. And the way I encounter and I walk, when I walk past lost people, I just feel that. It's changed my prayer life, like I said. And so this morning, I just encourage you, if you've never received the burden of the Lord's heart, to ask for it. Another sobering prayer, if you want to receive the burden of the Lord's heart, I'll try not to get choked up sharing you this short story, but I pray first and foremost that you would be gripped, as I just said, by the people you encounter every day that you usually walk past, that their eternity grips your heart. That when they walk past you and you know that they don't know Jesus, their eternity grips your heart to the point where you have no choice but to share the gospel with them. You have no other choice. I'll tell you a quick story about two young men who are gripped by the spiritual reality of this world. There were two young men from Germany from this group called the Moravians, and they had heard stories and rumors that there was an island off the West Indies owned by an atheist slave owner. And he said, a preacher or missionary would never step foot on my island. He was completely denying God. There were 3,000 slaves living in bondage on this island. These two young men came together and they thought, if we can't go as missionaries and preachers, we will sell ourselves into slavery so that 3,000 people would even have the chance, just the chance, to hear the gospel. And so this boat comes to get these two young men to take them to the island, and their family aligns the shore as they're about to depart. They're weeping, they're crying, because this would be the last time these two young men would ever see their family and friends and coworkers, everyone they have been doing life with since birth. And these two young men look back at the shore, and they link arms. And they yell out, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering. And this became the anthem for what you might know as the Moravians Mission Movement. I don't share that story to tell you you should go to that extent and do the same thing. I share that to encourage you in your faith, in boldness, in obedience, to operate under the burden of the Lord's heart. And when you receive the burden of the Lord's heart, what is the capacity of your yes? What will you say yes to when you receive the burden of the Lord's heart? So we've talked about how to operate under this burden that we receive over our lives from the Lord, but where and how do we receive this? If you would turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 1 with me, I'll give you a second to get there. Again, it'll be on the screens. While you're doing that, I'm going to give you some context. Acts chapter 1 emphasizes the early church's mission and the fulfillment of God's plan for salvation. It specifically focuses on Jesus' final moments on earth, completing his earthly mission, his ascension, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the disciples' preparation for the coming of the church. This chapter is an exact transition from Jesus completing his earthly mission to giving responsibility to his disciples, to you and I, to receive the burden over their lives, to fulfill their calling, and ultimately fulfill the Lord's mission. Starting in verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them for over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I have 3 points this morning on where and how we receive the burden of the Lord's heart. Point one, turn to your neighbor and tell him, you are promised the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, Jesus orders them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to make clear that the Holy Spirit is not about personal power or individual experience. The Holy Spirit specifically empowers you for the mission of God. Again, the Holy Spirit is not about individual or personal power or individual experience. It empowers you for the mission of God. Side note, if you back up to verse 2 with me, Jesus gives the commands to the disciples. It says, through the Holy Spirit. The same, Kenny just said it, the same Holy Spirit that is promised to the disciples is promised to you and I. It dwells in us. The disciples were called to be witnesses, to proclaim the message of Jesus to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how you receive the burden of the Lord's heart? From the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual life starts when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your heart. Your spiritual heart starts when your spiritual heart starts to beat again and you ask the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you. Your assignment that we're talking about starts to be revealed when you receive this burden through the Holy Spirit. Point two, turn to your neighbor and tell them, know the mission and know the assignment. I think it's important that we don't dismiss verses 6 and 7. The disciples were still expecting Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel. And in verse 6, they say, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus' response is profound. Don't miss this, church. He tells them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Jesus, I want you to notice, Jesus is redirecting their attention from national concerns about the future, or concerns about the future and national restoration, to a present reality of what he's calling them to do. They must stay to the assignment under the burden of the Lord's heart, under the mission of the Lord. If you want to receive the burden of the Lord's heart, you got to know the Lord's mission. If it's not his mission, it's not his burden. If it's not his mission you're operating in, then you probably aren't operating in the assignment he's given you. Let me say that again. If it's not his mission, you are probably not operating in the assignment he's given you in this season of your life. My last point, point three, tell your neighbor you've been ignoring. Have compassion. In verse 8, we see Jesus tell his disciples that they will be witnesses in all the world. Jesus acknowledges the loss, and he invites us again into that same compassion he feels, to the point where he invites us into his same mission and calls us to be witnesses throughout the earth. He is inviting us truly into the compassionate call of discipleship. How do we receive the burden of the Lord's heart this morning? You receive it by those three things: the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, that brings Christ-like compassion for the lost, for your lost friends, for your lost family, for your lost coworkers, that ushers you into his mission, into his harvest. Anybody grateful for a compassionate God this morning who saw you in your lowest of lows? As we close today, we're going to do something a little different. On your way in, you receive two sticky notes. As you listen today, this short message, I pray the Lord stirred a fresh revelation in you, that you will step into that reality, that you will realize that you are that Matthew 9 laborer, that Matthew 9 worker. And so over the next few weeks leading up to Easter, as a church body, we're going to step into the harvest together in prayer for our lost community, for our family members, for our coworkers, whoever the Lord puts on your heart, that's who we're going to step in and intercede for. And so as I pray to close today, and as the worship team gets ready to lead us in one more song, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write the name of one person, or maybe more than one person, that the Lord is putting on your heart right now in this moment that you know doesn't know the Lord. I'll give you a second to write their name on both sticky notes. Whoever the Lord is bringing to your heart right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The first sticky note I want you to take home with you, I want you to put it somewhere where you'll see it every day, your refrigerator, your mirror, your sink, wherever you'll see it every day. And every day that you see that sticky note and you see those names, I want you to pray. I want you to intercede on behalf of that person and pray expectantly that the Lord will bring them home. The second sticky note, in a moment when we start singing this last song, I want you to come up and I want you to place it all along this altar. And as a church body, we're gonna pray and intercede every week leading up to Easter. There's something cool we're gonna do. I wanna invite you. It's gonna be on the screens every Thursday at 11 a.m. starting this week to join a church-wide Zoom prayer call for 20 minutes every week leading up to Easter. We're gonna pray and intercede over all these names. We're gonna come together. We're gonna intentionally pray, seek, and intercede for lost souls in our area, that they would come to know Jesus. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? Maybe today the Lord has gripped your heart in a way you've never experienced before. Maybe today the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, has convicted you that you are that lost sheep we were talking about, a lost soul in need of a Savior. And today is the day of salvation for you. Would you pray this prayer with me? Church, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I need you today. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in desperate need of a Savior, that I am lost without you. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I'm inviting you into my life right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just a moment between you and the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to respond today. The Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If that is you today, would you do something bold with one of those sticky notes you receive when you walk in? Would you take it and put it high up in the air so I can see you, so we can acknowledge you? Is there anybody today? anybody today. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for the rest of us that we would step into this reality of what we talked about in Matthew 9 today, that we would step in as laborers, as workers into your harvest, that these names that we bring forward in just a moment, that you would hear our prayers, you would hear our cries, and that you would encounter every name that we place on this altar. We ask you this morning for the burden of your heart, that you would use us as laborers, that we would say yes to the mission, that you would expand our yes, that you would deepen the capacity of our yes when you place this burden over our lives. We're expectant, Father, for what you're going to do in these coming weeks leading up to Easter. We pray this in your mighty, powerful, holy name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.